So a few of the things that pointed, that jumped out at me in terms of the sheep. In verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he leads them out. They follow him, they know him, and they do not listen to the strangers, right? And that was skipping around, sorry. But they hear and know and they come to their shepherd. Right? A sheep is someone that knows the shepherd's voice, that can hear the shepherd's voice. A sheep is someone that comes and follows his shepherd. They recognize that shepherd's voice. The sheep doesn't listen to the wrong voice, right? I think that's the age-old confusion, or maybe not confusion, but wrestling in our spirit. Is that something that the Lord has for us, or is that something that is of the enemy, right? That wrong voice, that wrong shepherd, that wrong person that is speaking into our lives, right? Something that is a good indicator is how much we know Scripture, right? If we apply what is being told to us to Scripture, does it line up? Right, something that I tell students in high school and even friends in college as they graduate, right, they come and they're like, oh, I feel this is what the Lord is telling me, or that is what the Lord is telling me. Okay, let's apply it to Scripture. Let's go into Scripture. Let's pray. Let's dig into it. I think one of the lies that the enemy brings up is that we are worthless, that a lie that often is believed by humans, by the sheep, is that we are worthless, is that we have no value, right? And that's a good indicator, right? We bring into Scripture, you are a child of God, you are seen, you are heard, you are known by God. You aren't worthless, you have value. It's one of my favorite things to do in junior high ministry up at camp or for the first time is really looking into someone's eyes and telling them how much they are loved and seen and heard. Telling them the truth of Scripture. Telling them what their shepherd would speak over them. I challenge us all tonight, do we know the shepherd's voice? Can we hear the shepherd's voice? Or do we have sin separating us from God? Do we have sin separating us, building that wall, building that trench, building whatever separation that is going on that we can't hear as described in Scripture, that still small voice? Are we invested in our knowledge and in our relationship with God, investing in our walk with Jesus to hear and to know his voice, right? The sheep, they follow their shepherd, right? It isn't a moment where the shepherd comes in and beats the sheep, right? The good shepherd doesn't do that. He's not saying that. He's not saying that I came in and I grabbed my sheep and they weren't listening and I pulled them out of there. No, the sheep, they hear his voice and they follow him. Doesn't drive them out or carry them out. He leads them out. He leads us out of the sheepfold. He leads us into our lives. He leads us into the highs and to the lows. He leads us through the storms. He is the God that sees everything. And we, as sheep, as a body of believers, should follow the shepherd. And my big challenge for this point is that we follow him in our daily lives. And what I'm sure that is spoken of a lot, and it is something like, okay, yes, I'm serving the Lord, I'm following the Lord to serve here at church somewhere. Right, which is beautiful and amazing, right? I've been, like I said earlier, I've been incredibly blessed that Brian, right before he walked onto the K-Wave pastor's perspective about 6 years ago, punched me on the chest really hard and said, "Don't mess up junior high ministry." And I said, "Yes, sir." And I have messed up a little bit, I will confess, but God's grace, as I said earlier, has covered it all. But what I'm saying with following Jesus, we had a junior higher a couple years ago. They didn't go to school here. They lived down in South County. And they were on a soccer team. And he invited his entire soccer team to camp. And I was a junior high leader at the time. And the girls lead and the pastor, Pastor Gary and Darlene came to me. And they were like, "Hey, so there's this group of about 15 or 20 kids we don't know anything about. The sixth grade teachers don't know them. We don't know them. They could be a little crazy, a little exciting, whatever. Just love on them, you know, just be a camp leader." And so I did, and we hung out and had, you know, the joys of camp. All those kids gave their lives to the Lord, and like 75% were baptized that week. There's some that I'm still it's incredible, yes. And some that I'm still in contact with, right? They're in college or they're, I think, seniors or something like that. They're out of junior high ministry, but they're walking with the Lord, and obviously some aren't. But it was because this one kid listened to the prompting of the Spirit or just wanted to have fun with his friends and invited them to camp, invited them to hear what the Lord had. A couple years later after that, we had this girl invited by her, I think, cousins. And she came, and again, we didn't know her. That's typically how summer camp works. We know about 60% of the kids, and the others are family friends and stuff like that. And she came, and the different leaders that were getting to know her, Hannah, and some of the leaders in her cabin found out she was Hindu, grew up in a Hindu family, and her parents, right before they sent her off to come to camp with us, were like, "Do not get baptized in the Christian faith. Just don't do it." And so we had conversations. We talked to her. We obviously, she was in all of the sessions. And she came to, I think, Hannah or one of our other leaders. And she was like, I really want to, it was the last day, which is baptism day. "I really want to get baptized. I want to give my life to the Lord." Because she, and it was so incredible. It was so incredible. She said all the Hindu gods, right? They're fantasy. They're all these stories. They don't seem real, but Jesus is real. Jesus is the real God. It was so incredible that this little 12-year-old had spoken these things, and it was just such a blessing, so incredible. And my point with all of this is that we do not have to, working or volunteering at a church, like I said, is an incredible blessing and a beautiful way to serve Jesus. But we can serve Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Right, I challenge us all, if we're a student, if we're a parent, if we're have some sort of occupation, right? We have neighbors, we have housemates, roommates, whatever it is, right? There are people in your life that need Jesus. And if there aren't, you need to get into a community that has people that need Jesus. Right? It is as simple, right? It's nerve-wracking talking to someone about Jesus, right? It's hard. It is hard standing on a stage that you grew up watching Pastor Chuck and Pastor Brian, and now you're standing here and you're like, "What the heck is going on?" But again, God's grace. But what I challenge us all with is we all can serve Jesus, inviting people to church, inviting people into conversation, becoming their friend, right? Being like Jesus. He had dinner and hung out with sinners. He had dinner and hung out with people that were going to betray him and disappoint him. I challenge us all to change the world in the name of Jesus. And I try to, it's typically my speech at junior high graduation. Let's go change the world one person at a time. Because yes, we won't completely and utterly change the world, but you can change the world for one individual and be a part of the Lord changing someone's life. The next point is that the sheep are protected by the shepherd. And what I mean by that, they are protected by the lies and deceptions that Satan throws at us every single day. Right? In Ephesians 6, it talks of the armor of God. Do we have the armor of God? Are you putting on the armor of God? Do we have the sword of the Spirit? Do we have scripture to push back against temptation, to push back against the lies, to push back of the thoughts of being worthless and having no value? Do we know that scripture? And then my main and probably final point, well, not probably, definitely final point, but we'll see. You never know how the Lord leads. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Do we know God? Right? And I know that's a hard question. You can't say yes because we don't know God fully until we're in heaven. But do we know the essence of God? Right? Do we know God to the fullest of who we can or how we can here on earth? Do you know, and how do we know God? Right? Know scripture. It's sharper than any two-edged. It's true. Do we know scripture? Do you know that when Hagar was cast out of the house of Abraham and Sarah, when they had that debacle and she was cast out, this older pregnant female, right, had no value, no sort of worth in that time and culture. But God meets her where she is at. God comes to her and says, I see you, I hear you, I love you. She says one of my favorite names of God, El Roy, or El Royhi, however you say it, I'm sorry. But the God that sees me. Something I always tell the junior hires is we always think of God as the massive creator, savior, right? He's the God above the world and the 8 billion people that are in the world, right? This massive El Shaddai, this huge God, which is obviously 100% truth. But he is also the God that sees the individual. He is also the God that sees your pain, that sees you, that meets you where you are at. He is also the God that parted the Red Sea. Like, do we know God? He is the God that when Peter, you guys remember the story, he walks out onto the water. Jesus walks out onto the water. Peter asks if he can come out with him. And Peter does, and he takes a step out and you guys know the story, right? He's walking on water a couple steps and then begins to sink, right? He takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to look at the storm, look at the hardship around him, and loses faith in his Savior, the God that just brought him out into the water. Does Jesus leave him where he's at and say, yeah, figure it out, get yourself back into the boat? No, he comes immediately, he says, and picks him out of the water and pulls him out. Do we know God? Do we know the God that when he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, to do this incredibly difficult situation, Abraham is about to do it, and then there is that ram in the thicket, right? There's that animal that Abraham can't see, calling, and then Abraham calling him Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Do we know God? Do we know the God that the psalmist cried out to, right? The psalmist, he's in, why is my soul downcast? Right? Speaking to his own soul, speaking to himself, why are you downcast? Why are you so down? Why are you depressed? What is going on? At the end of that psalm, he says, praise God, the God of Jacob, right? He ends it with, but still I will praise you, still I will trust you. How many of us have been to that, right? The 2020 has been one of the more difficult years in a lot of people's lives. Do we know the God that sees us, that knows us, that is okay with our pain, that sees our pain, that sees our hurt? Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Do we know God? Do we know our good shepherd? Because when the enemy tries to throw everything at us, what does Jesus do when he is being tempted? He pulls out scripture. He pulls out his father's words. One of the more powerful moments, I think, in Jesus' life, and or at least powerful for me, is one we obviously just celebrated. But before Jesus goes onto the cross, he is in Gethsemane, as you guys know, and he has the disciples with him, and he tells them, oh, wait right here, pray with me, I'm gonna go up here. And this is when we see Jesus agonizing, right? Falling on his face, sweating the blood, right? He's agonizing, he's pleading, he's talking to his father. He comes back and the disciples are asleep, right? He does this a couple times. But I think the more powerful point in this story for me is that we do not hear the Father's voice. We do not see, as when Jesus was baptized, the heavens open up and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, right? We don't see the angels come down and minister to him after the 40 days in the wilderness. We do not see the prophets come down and on the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't see that happen. We see the Father is silent. Right? And we're talking about the creator of the universe, right? Again, he told them to hit a rock and the water came out and then speak to the rock, right? Our God can do anything, right? He could have come down and comforted his only begotten son, but we don't see that happen. How many of us have felt the silence of God? How many of us have felt the quietness, the earth-shattering silence when we cry out to our Father? We have a great high priest who knows what it is like, that can sympathize with us. Do we know God? And then verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus is literally telling us he came that you may have life and life more abundantly. That we may have joy, that we may have hope, that we may have love in these difficult and trying times of our lives. Jesus came that you may have life in the most difficult moments of your life, that you may have peace. And as Brian, as we all know, Psalm 23, the God is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This incredible passage, this incredible God. Do we know God? I challenge all of us to be like Jesus. And when temptation, when hardship comes, let's go into Scripture. When joy and peace comes, let's go into Scripture. When life and peace and the world, as it's, the psalmist says as well, when the mountains fall into the sea, let's praise God. Let's be still and know who God is. Let's be still before the Lord. I said earlier, one of our goals and one of the things that I always try to make sure to instill in our students' lives and in just everyone around me is that we are children. If we know, knowing that we are children of God, knowing we are loved and seen and heard and known by God and still loved. But what I challenge you guys with, and what I challenge all of us with, is to allow people in your life that you are confident in to see you for all that you are, to know you. Allow them to hear your pain. Allow them to see your pain. We are not intended to go through life alone. Right? Nowhere in Scripture says that you are going to have a perfect life. Throughout Scripture, it says how God is there with us and he gives the body of Christ to come alongside us. Gives the body of Christ to support and to lift up our hands, right? The Bible is filled with people supporting and loving each other. I challenge each and every one of us to be the people that see and notice and are willing to hear and willing to know the people in our community at their lowest and at their highest. And allow people in your life to see you and know you and to hear you. Because we are not supposed to go through life alone. And not everyone deserves to hear your vulnerability. Not everyone deserves to hear that, vulnerability, that hurt or that pain. We need to protect it. We need to protect our hearts. But not protection so much that no one is allowed inside. So do we know God? Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we thank you so much again for who you are. We thank you that you love us, that you are with us. Lord, I thank you that you came to bring us life and life more abundantly. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and this time to be before this group of people. Lord, I thank you that you see us, that you know us, that you hear us, that you love us. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room and for all of us that we may find a better understanding, or not find, but that we will seek a better understanding of who you are. Lord, I pray that you again will go before all of us as we continue through our week, as we continue through this month and this year, Lord, that you will be that good shepherd that leads, guides, and protects your sheep. Help us to follow you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name.